Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, Chapter 12 of the Yadu Dynasty, retires to Prabhas, text number 15.
Asya shihetu udaya sthiti samyamanam.
Asya shihetu udaya sthiti samyamanam.
Avyakta jiva mahatam api kalamahu.
Avyakta jiva mahatam api kalamahu.
Soyam trinapi api Akila pachaye prakrita.
Soyam trinapi akila pachaye prakrita.
Kalo gabhira raya uttama purushastvam.
Kalo gabhira raya uttama purushastvam.
Asya.
Asya.
Of this universe.
Of this universe.
Asi,
Asi,
you are.
You are.
Hetu,
Hetu,
the cause.
The cause.
Udaya,
Udaya,
of the creation.
Of the creation.
Stiti,
Stiti,
maintenance.
Maintenance.
Samyamanam, and annihilation.
Avyakta,
Avyakta. Of the unmanifest material and nature. Jiva,
Jiva.
The individual living being. Mahatam.
Mahatam.
And of the Mahat Tattva. With the manifest elements evolved from it. Api,
Api,
also.
Also.
Kalam,
Kalam.
The controlling time factor.
The controlling time factor.
Ahu,
Ahu.
You are said to be.
You are said to be.
Saha Ayam,
Saha Ayam.
This same personality.
The same personality.
Trinapi,
Trinapi.
Appearing as a wheel with circumference. Divided into three parts. The year divided into 4 month seasons. Akila,
Akila.
Of everything.
Of everything.
Apachaye.
Apachaye.
In affecting the diminution. Pravritta.
Pravritta.
Engaged.
Engaged.
Kala,
Kala,
the time factor.
The
Gabhira,
Gabhira,
imperceptible.
Imperceptible.
Raya,
Raya,
the movements of which.
The movements of which.
Uttama Purusha,
Uttama Purusha,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Twam,
uh-huh.
You are.
You are.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. You are the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. As time, you regulate the subtle and manifest states of material nature and control every living being. As the threefold wheel of time, you diminish all things by your imperceptible actions. And thus, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation responsibly. You are the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe.
You are the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe.
As time, you regulate the subtle and manifest states of material nature.
As time, you regulate the subtle and manifest states of material nature.
And control every living being.
And control every living being.
As the threefold wheel of time. You diminish all things by your imperceptible actions.
You diminish all things by your imperceptible actions.
And thus you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And thus you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Purport. The word Gabhira Raya. or imperceptible speed and power is significant. We observe that by the laws of nature, all material things, including our own bodies, gradually disintegrate. Although we can perceive the long-term results of this aging process, we cannot experience the process itself. For example, no one can feel how his hair or fingernails are growing. We perceive the cumulative results of their growth, but from moment to moment, we cannot experience it. Similarly, a house gradually decays until it is demolished. From moment to moment, we can not perceive exactly how this is happening. But in the course of longer intervals of time, we can actually see the deterioration of the house. In other words, we can experience the results or manifestations of aging and deterioration. But as it is taking place, the process itself is imperceptible. This is the wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of time. The word Trinapi indicates that according to astrological calculation of the sun's movements, the year can be divided into three sections, those represented by Aries, Taurus, Gemini and Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra and Scorpio, and Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius and Pisces. The word Uttama Purusha or Purushottama is explained in Bhagavad Gita 15:18, Yasmat Sharam Atitoham Aksharad Api Chotamaha Atosmi Loke Vedecha Pratita Purushottamaha. Because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Omagyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurnilitamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manogishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Vedantikam. Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishna Vebhyo Namanamaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Bhagavad Gita mentions there are five subject matters. What are the five subject matters which are covered in the Bhagavad Gita, which is mentioned in the introduction to the Gita? Jiva, yep. Ishwara. Karma, yep. Time, Kala, yep, and? Prakriti, okay. So these five, Ishwara, Jiva, and Prakriti, Kala, and karma. These are the five subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna speaks. So, Ishwara means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It means Krishna and Krishna's expansions, like that. Then we have Jiva. Jiva means the living entities. How the living entities fit into God's creation. That. Then we have Prakriti. Prakriti means what's that? Not just material nature. Prakriti means energy. So it means the spiritual energy and the material energy. Because Krishna speaks of both. He speaks of the para Prakriti and the apara Prakriti in the Gita. He speaks of the superior nature and the inferior nature. Right, the spiritual world and the material world. Prakriti covers both. Right? Krishna doesn't elaborate on Prakriti, the spiritual Prakriti, so much in the Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't describe the spiritual world in the Bhagavad Gita. Basically, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna just gives, because he's speaking in very sutra-like form, in very concise form, Krishna says, in the spiritual world, there was no sun, there was no moon, there was no electricity, there was no fire. He doesn't say much about it. He just gives a very basic understanding of the Prakriti. And then, Kala. Kala means? Time. All of us are affected and controlled by time. Right? And then there is? Karma. Karma is the only one of the five which is not constant. The other four, as Prabhupada explains, are eternal. Right? The energies, the jivas, the Lord himself, the time factor, all that is eternal. But karma is not eternal. Thank God. Karma is temporary, like that. Because it comes, right? You commit some activity, right? Punya or pap. Punya means piety, pap means sin, like that. So you do some sin, you do some piety, and then you get the result for that. Then that that creates a seed in your subtle body. Whenever you do something, right, when besides devotional service, because devotional service is akarma. Akarma means means no karma. Akarma means without reaction, right? Because you do devotional service, for every activity there's a reciprocation. But if you do a material activity, a pious activity or a sinful activity, the reciprocation comes from Durga. Right? It comes from the material nature itself. Right? But if you do devotional service, because that is akarma, it means the reciprocation comes directly from Radha Krishna, from Gaunitai, from Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Because that's who we dedicate our activities to. Right? So we do our activities, we do it for the pleasure of the Lord, and the reciprocation comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the material energy. There's always reciprocation for every activity. Right? There's no activity that we perform, either devotional service or material activity, where there's no reciprocation. Right? Everything we do, there's a reaction. But when you do devotional service, the reaction comes from Krishna. Krishna reacts. Right? You offer Krishna the flower, Krishna accepts the flower. If it's offered with? Devotion. Like that. Patranam, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yome bhaktya priyaschahati. If there is bhakti, if there is devotion, then Krishna says, yes, ashnami, I accept it, I relish it. So there's always a reaction. You offer something, Krishna reacts. Like that. But if you act for the outside of devotional service, then you're in the realm of the material energy. So then, whenever you perform an activity which is non-devotional, either pious or sinful, then the reaction for that activity is stored in your subtle body. Right? It's placed within your subtle body as a bij. A bij means a seed. And then it's waiting to fructify. Right? It will come out again in the future. Like that. So it goes within your subtle body and it is stored there, and then in due course of time that will react. That will come out. Right? And it will come out as a kuta. Kuta means proclivity. It means a proclivity towards sin or towards piety. It will come out as a desire. Right? That whenever you do something, then it perpetuates a desire. Right? Just like you're doing good punya, you're doing pious activities, then you get more desire, I will do more of this. And if you do sinful activities, then you'll get more desire to do that also. So it creates a proclivity towards doing that. And then that turns into prarabdha. Prarabdha means? What's that? Aparabdha first? Okay, so we'll take it that way. Aparabdha turns into aparabdha. So aparabdha means? Isn't aparabdha after parabdha? Isn't it? When it's clear, then it's called aparabdha? Okay, obviously I'm confused. Last time I spoke about this, I got confused also. It's not clear in my head, like that, the terms. Okay. That's why it's good to have the students here in the class. Because they correct the teacher. It's actually the Vedic system. The Vedic system is when the yajna is being performed, right, by the Purohit or the head priest, there are other priests who sit there and they check all of his pronunciation. Right, he's chanting all the mantras. And he's saying, you know, swaha, like that. And then if something's wrong, they'll say, that is wrong. Rechant it, like that. So that's what happens in the Bhagavatam class. Sometimes we speak and we get things mixed up, and the students say, hey, that's not correct. That's good. That's the system, actually, like that. So, aparabdha. Aparabdha means? Unmanifest, yeah. So from that desire or that proclivity towards activity, sinful or pious activity, then unmanifest reactions come, or in other words, we begin to get the reactions, right? The reactions begin to manifest. Just like something happens in our life and suddenly we have something begin to manifest. Right? Sometimes you feel in your life, uh-oh, here it comes. Right? You can feel something beginning to manifest. And you feel, oh my God, I'm just about to get a reaction. Like that from the material energy. You can feel like sometimes the material energy begins to move and you can feel your karma is beginning to manifest like that. So that is called aparabdha karma. And parabdha karma means the manifestation of your activities. Right? You did something and then this is the reaction. Right? It comes like that. So parabdha karma, an example of parabdha karma is our material body. Right, the body we're in now. This is parabdha karma. Right? We did so many activities in our previous life and what was the result? The result is parabdha karma. I'm in a material body. Right? And in that material body, what am I doing? Huh? Primarily. Yes. Primarily suffering. That's what this material body is for. Like that. When you're young, right? Sometimes it's hard to relate to this because you think, well, mainly I'm enjoying. Right? But then you just wait a few decades. That's reality. That's what this purport's about, the time factor. Right? You might be enjoying now, right? But just wait. So is it more enjoyment or is it more suffering? Right? That's what I was explaining at the Sunday Feast class at the farm last Sunday, Sunday before. Then I said to the audience, the people who had come, the guests, I said, the material world is primarily suffering. An example we sometimes give is take your big toe, or take your little toe, or choose any toe. Right? And then, how much enjoyment can you get from that toe? Right? Take your big toe, right? Tickle it with a feather, right? Pour some honey on it. Right? You get a certain amount of sensation, a certain amount of pleasure from your big toe. Right? It's a fact. We can get a certain amount of pleasure from the big toe. Now take a hammer, or get someone else to take a hammer, right? And smash your big toe. Right? Now what's greater? Right? The pleasure you got from your big toe, or the suffering you got from your big toe? Right? So the suffering far outweighs the pleasure in the material world, because the nature of the material world is principally the suffering. Krishna says, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Krishna says, I created it, and this is how I created it. So people may say, well, why did Krishna create it like that? Krishna created it like that because if it was perfect, or if it was primarily pleasure, you'd never have any impetus to go back to the spiritual world. Right? The whole material creation is an impetus to get us back to the spiritual world. We're not supposed to stay here. And then the way the material energy acts is that she educates us, this is not your eternal home. Just like, have you ever wondered why we get grey hairs? Have you ever wondered why we get grey hairs? Why do we get grey hairs? It's a warning. Hare Baba. You are going to die. Soon. When you start seeing the grey hairs, you know what that means? It means you've got to start chanting more seriously. That's what it means. Time to get serious. You haven't got much time left. When the grey hairs come, that's when you start, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That's when you really start getting focused. Because that means you haven't got long to go. Just like this year I turned 40. My material body turns 40. That means, I'm probably about halfway through my life. If you look at the law of averages, right? Maybe a few more years either way, but about halfway. So what does that mean? means get serious. Have you heard that term, over the hill? Right? At the age I'm at now, I'm over the hill. Right? I've got to the top, and now I'm going down the other side. Right? And it just gets down from here. There's no up, there's only down. Just like my spiritual master, he said that everyone in the material world, everyone always says, don't worry, everything will get better. You know, you always hear that saying? Don't worry, everything will get better, don't worry. People always say that. And he says, but you know what? It gets worse. It doesn't get better. Right? As life goes on and as you get older, it gets worse. The material energy is dukkhalayam, ashashvatam. It is a negative place. It's not a positive place, the material energy. So don't expect happiness here. Don't expect to set up camp and to enjoy here perpetually, because everything will change. Everything will disappear in due course of time. So Krishna says that there are five subject matters in the Gita. Prabhupada says there are five subject matters in the Gita, and karma is the one which fluctuates, that changes. Right? Karma does not have to stay the same. Krishna says in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Sarvadaman Parijaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Moksha Yishami Masuchaha. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, all of your sinful reactions. Sarva Pap means all of your karma, all of it. Right? Sarva Papebhyo means everything. Aham, I destroy it, Krishna says. Right? Moksha. Moksha means liberation. Moksha Yishami, Masuchaha. Do not fear. Krishna says, just surrender to me and I will destroy it all. All of that karma. Everything will disappear. And I will remove it. Right? That is the potency of devotional service. That is Krishna's final message in the Bhagavad Gita. Surrender to me. Because if you surrender to me, I will destroy all of your sinful reactions. Do not fear. Right? That's a good deal. But still we hold on to the material energy. Still we hold on tightly to the material energy. Krishna says, let go of it. Don't fear. Right? You let go and I'll protect you. Right? Everything. I'll destroy it. All the problems, I'll take care of it. But no, we want to hold on. One time, a disciple said to the Guru, he said, Guru Maharaj, it is not possible to give up one's material desires. And the Guru said to the disciple, no, it is possible, but you must let go. He said, no, it's not possible. He said, no, it is possible, you must let go. So the next morning, when the disciple came outside the ashram, the Guru was holding onto the tree. And the disciple said, Guru Maharaj, what's wrong? And he said, the tree won't let me go. And he said, Guru Maharaj, just let go of the tree. And he said, no, the tree will not let me go. He said, Guru Maharaj, what do you... He said, no. So he's pointing out to the disciple, you will not let go. We will not let go. That's the point. But Krishna will not give us himself until we let go of our attachments to this material world. Just like if you have something in your hand, then someone cannot give you something else. Right? Just like you say to a child, put down the matches. Right? You put down the matches and then I'll give you the toy car. Right? But first you have to put down the bad thing and then you'll get the thing that you want. So this is how Krishna, this is what Krishna is doing with us. He's saying, you let go of your attachments. When your attachments, when you let go, then I'll give you me. Huh? Then I'll give you myself. Akila Rasamrita Murti. This is how Nectar of Devotion begins, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. What is rasa mean?
Mellow.
Taste, juice. It means pleasure, actually. It means where you derive pleasure. Rasa. Amrita, what does Amrita mean? Nectar, right? So what's Rasamrita? Yeah, that's total nectar. That's Krishna. Akila, what does Akila mean? This word is in here today. Akila means everything, right? I am all pleasure. Krishna is all pleasure. Akila Rasamrita Murti. What does Murti mean? Form. Krishna is the form of all pleasure. So Krishna is saying, you let go of everything, all your material attachments, I'll give you myself. I'll give you the Akila Rasamrita Murti. I'll give you the form of all pleasure. I'll give you more pleasure than you can possibly imagine. But you must let go. If you won't let go, then what can I do? Even God cannot take you back to the... I mean, of course he can, because he's God. He can just wipe out all the illusion, just take us back. But Prabhupada says, if we take a vow to stay in the material world, even God cannot deliver us. You know, that's not the vow we're supposed to take. What's the vow we take at the time of initiation? Right? Every day we'll chant 16 rounds, right? Not every second day. Every day we'll chant 16 rounds. And four regulative principles. Why? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, these are principles of freedom. Right? Do you want to become free? You have to follow principles. Right? So that's why we take these vows at the time of initiation. This will give us freedom. Right? One vidhi, four initiator. Right? Four negative things, do nots, and one... that's the price. Krishna says, if you do it, Prabhupada says, if you do it, you can go back to Godhead. You can get the Akila Rasamrita Murti. You can get Krishna. So, of the five subject matters in the Gita, then karma is the one which is changeable. Right? But the other four are eternal, constant. Right? So, this particular purport and verse is speaking of... Does anyone remember what this verse is speaking about? Time. Right? Time. Time is going... The beads should be on the... They shouldn't be on the mats. Yeah, it should be on the... not on the side. So, time. Kala. Now, kala in the material world is deteriorating. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, kalo smi. Arjuna says in the beginning of the 11th chapter, show me your universal form, Virat Rupa. It's not exactly the Virat Rupa, it's actually a slightly different form. It's not exactly the Virat Rupa, but it's a type of Virat Rupa. It's like a universal kind of form. So Arjuna says, I want to see that. So then Krishna shows it to him. And then when Arjuna sees it, right, it just suddenly, Krishna manifests his form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to show his... show that I am God. Prabhupada would sometimes use this argument when it came to preaching against false gurus. Because sometimes people say, I am God. Or sometimes certain gurus, their followers say, he is God. So then Prabhupada, one of the things that Prabhupada would say to them, then show us your universal form. If you are God, and show you. And then what do they say? They say, you don't have the eyes to see it. You don't have the eyes to see it. Then what do we say to them? Then you give me the eyes. And then they'll say, you give me $5,000. We'll say, okay, we'll give you $5,000. Now you give me the eyes. Yeah, bogus. Prabhupada said, I kick on your face. Nonsense. I'm God. Well, sometimes, you know, the followers say, oh, he is God. And Prabhupada would say, well, if the followers are saying he is God, they say, I'm not saying, my followers say I'm God. Then you are nonsense. That is aparad. That's an offense. Right? Someone says you are God and you accept it, then you think you are God. Right? So that is an aparad. That's an offense. So, Krishna, he showed Arjuna the universal form, the Virat Rupa, to prove his divinity. that he is God. Arjuna said, please show me. Krishna showed. And Arjuna, you have to understand how powerful Arjuna was. When warriors just heard his name, right, their hearts were struck with fear. That's how powerful Arjuna was. He wasn't like an ordinary warrior. He was a Maharati. Right? I mean, he was, you know, if we start telling stories about Arjuna, how powerful Arjuna was, right? He was so powerful. Incredible. I mean, he was famous on the earth. Even Krishna's children, the Yadu dynasty, Prajumna and Samba and all of them, their idol was Arjuna. Right? When they were kids and when they were playing, they would say, I am Arjuna. Right? I will take this vow in the name of Arjuna. Arjuna was famous on earth. I mean, he was practically the most powerful warrior. You know, Bhishma was the most powerful. Bhishma, you know, Krishna and Balaram, Bhishma, Drona, like that. But Arjuna, he was, you know, the most powerful warrior on the earth. But when he saw the Bharat Rupa, right, he just began to shake because it was in every direction. Suddenly the universe opened up. Right, and he was just these huge figures, and they're breathing fire from their mouths. You've seen pictures of the Bharat Rupa, got some idea of what it was like. And there were planets spinning around him, and it was like, and he just looked at the whole thing, and then he was just struck with fear. I mean, he was shaking, just like, what is this? And then he said to Krishna, he said, who are you? And Krishna said, Kalosmi, I am time, and I've come to devour everyone. That's who the Bharat Rupa is. It is time. You want to see the material energy? It's time. It's powerful. More powerful than anything. You know, because it's God's Shakti. Kala Shakti is God's energy. So it is an unstoppable force, insurmountable force. That is time. That is Kala. Like that. So Arjuna asks to see, and then he sees that. And then he says to Krishna, can I please see you how I used to see you? I don't like this. I can't relate to this. You know, I can't do any bhakti to this. I can't perform devotional service to this. You know, I'm just in fear like that. So then Krishna came back to Narayan, turned with four arms. And then Arjuna said, please show me your two-arm form. And he became Krishna again. So, Kala, time, is God's energy. Now, in the material world, time deteriorates everything. Everything is destroyed by time. Everything in the material world has past, present, and future. Right? Why is that? Because of the influence of gunas and time. Time mixes with the gunas. Right? When time mixes with the mode of passion, what do we get? Creation. When time mixes with the mode of passion, we get creation. Right? That's how things manifest. Because in the spiritual world, there is no mode of passion. So therefore, there's no creation. Right? The spiritual world is eternal by nature. Right? There's no creation, no beginning, there's no end. Like that. So when time mixes with the mode of passion, then you get creation. When time mixes with the mode of goodness, you get maintenance, like that. Everything stays, right, for a period of time. That's the mode of goodness. And when time mixes with the mode of ignorance, you get destruction. Everything deteriorates, right? That's the mode of ignorance. Everything deteriorates. In the spiritual, there's no goodness. There's no mode of ignorance. So there's no death. No one grows old. No one dies. Right? It is said, Bhakti Sarvata Saraswati Thakur says that birth, death, old age and disease are conspicuous by their absence in the spiritual world. You know, where are they? Everyone's like, where's old age? Where's disease? Right? Where's birth? Where's death? It doesn't exist. Right? That's the nature of the spiritual world. But in the material world, right, then we must go through these things because the influence of time with the modes of nature. Right? That's the difference. Like that. Just like in 1968, the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, they said, Srila Prabhupada, what's it like in Goloka Vrindavan? So they were very new devotees. So what were they going to understand? What was Prabhupada going to say? So at that time, the Vietnam War was on, and many of the young devotees, they were being many of the young men in America, they were being conscripted. Is that the word? Conscripted. They were being taken, sent to the war. Even some of the devotees were being they're trying to send some of the devotees to war. You read in My Glorious Master, Burujan Prabhu tells how he was almost taken to the Vietnam War also, like that. So the devotees said to Prabhupada in 1968, they said, Prabhupada, what's it like in Goloka Vrindavan? And he said, there are no draft boards. That's the difference. Right? We need to understand these facts first. We need to understand the difference between matter and spirit. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is for. Bhagavad Gita, that's why Krishna doesn't go into the spiritual world in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavatam, you go into the spiritual world more. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't go into it so much. He just says, you know, it is a place where there is no sun, there is no moon, there is no light, there is no electricity. He says it is para-prakriti. He said it never deteriorates. He says these things, but he doesn't go into details. Because we need to understand this first. When you understand the difference and the philosophical points, then you can go into the rasa and the lila and the details like that. So the nature of the material world, it is under the influence of time. But time in the material world, it deteriorates everything. Everything has a beginning, everything has an end. But in the spiritual world, there is no material time. There is spiritual time. So in the spiritual world, we have what is called Ashta, Kaliya, Lila. Kala means time. Ashta means eight, Lila. Krishna has eight divisions of time throughout the day. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eight divisions of time throughout the day. Their Lilas are divided into eight divisions. Like that, of time. That is the difference. In the material world, time is deteriorating. In the spiritual world, every morning in the spiritual world, the sun rises, right? And then the sun sets. And then the moon rises, right? And then the moon sets. Same as here. This is a reflection of that place. But there's no deterioration, right? No one ever grows old, right? Krishna is Navayovana. Navayovana means he's always 16. In Goloka Vrindavan, always 16, right? Never gets older, right? Never grows a beard, never grows a mustache. We have to shave. Krishna never has to shave. They said to Prabhupada, does Krishna have any hair on his face? Prabhupada said, you know the hair that's on a peach? You know, very fine hair? See, Krishna has that on his upper lip. Very fine hair. Pretty far out, huh? Where else can you learn this? Just like tomorrow, Krishna Maharaj was speaking to Cardinal Sin. That was his name. He was the Cardinal of the Catholic Church in the Philippines, Cardinal Sin. And tomorrow, Krishna Maharaj was speaking to him in the 80s. There was an interview. And tomorrow, Krishna Maharaj said to him, he said, what does God do in the kingdom of God? And Cardinal Sin said, he sits on a throne. And tomorrow, Krishna Maharaj says, does he ever get off the throne? And Cardinal Sin says, most probably, but I do not know. Right? But then you come to the Hare Krishna temple, and we tell you what type of hair God has on his face. That's the difference. This is the topmost knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. Krishna says, this is the king of education. There's nothing higher than the Bhagavad philosophy, than the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's nothing higher on earth. There's nothing higher. Right? The literatures, the Vedic literatures, these literatures which Prabhupada gave us, Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada said, my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. Right? So nothing higher than Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada said, and the literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. And all these different books which are coming out now, like the Brihad Bhagavatam Return, Krishna Lila Stava, and these books, like that. These give the essence of everything within these books. So if you want to know God, if you want to understand the spiritual world, then you have to understand these books. First, you must understand Bhagavad Gita. First, you must complete your Bhakti Shastri. Srila Prabhupada said, before you take Brahman initiation, you must complete your Bhakti Shastri. You must have studied the Gita, the Upanishad, the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction thoroughly. Right? Then you can begin Bhakti Vaibhava. Then you can start the Bhagavatam. Then you can go to Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Sarvabhauma. Like that. You can read any of Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, just like an apple, you take an apple, you can bite an apple from any side, it still tastes the same. Sweet. So you can pick up any of Prabhupada's books, any time of the day, and you can read any of Prabhupada's books. But at some point in your life, and especially when you're a new devotee, you have to make a systematic study of Prabhupada's books. You have to learn the Gita. You have to learn, you must do these things. Prabhupada was on a morning walk in, I'm not sure where it was, but he was on a morning walk I was listening to when I was in Vrindavan. And one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, they were glorifying Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada, you've written so many books. And Prabhupada said, yes, I've written these books for you. He says, because by reading these books, it will keep you out of Maya. And you see, when devotees start to go into Maya, it can be for different reasons, but quite often it will mean that the devotees are neglecting their rounds. It means they're not chanting properly. Yeah, anyone can chant. You know, get a clicker and go. Anyone can do that. Yeah, while you're, you know, while you're unloading the van, while you're putting your washing machine, while you're on the tram. You know, anyone can do it. That's easy. Anyone can chant 16 rounds. You know, just get your clicker and you know, just click. Yeah. How many 16 rounds on the clicker? 1700 mantras, isn't it? So, yeah, click. Okay. That's it. Anyone can chant 16 rounds. But when you chant 16 good rounds, that's the different thing. That's the real thing. Prabhupada said, 16 attentive rounds. Attentive. Prabhupada, it's not 16 rounds, it's attentive rounds. You should be chanting with attention. While you chant, you don't do other things. It's meditation. It's japa, meditation. You don't do other things while you're chanting. It's a singular activity. Sometimes I'll see devotees reading and chanting at the same time. Like, what are you doing? Sometimes I go up to devotees and I say, Prabhu, what are you doing? Are you reading or are you chanting? You can do one or the other, that's fine, but make up your mind. Yeah, if your mind's so out of control, I sometimes see, you know, devotees chanting out the front here and they're reading the roster while they're chanting. I mean, it's very riveting stuff. The roster's riveting, you know. Well, you know, I mean, what are you getting out of the roster? It takes 1 minute to read the roster. You know, go and read the roster and then chant your rounds. Like, make up your mind. Control your mind. It's actually interesting. Maybe I'll give a class about it sometime. That Sanatana Goswami says there are 6 principles in chanting japa. And one of them is mind control. You have to control your mind while you're chanting your japa. If you don't control your mind, then what are you going to get out of that japa? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a Siddha Mantra. Because I'm studying chanting at the moment. That's mainly what I'm studying at the moment, studying chanting. Because you get to a point in your devotional service where you realise, I've got to learn to start how to chanting. You know, I've been a devotee for 20 years, and I'm starting to realise I've got to learn how to chant. You know, if I don't learn how to chant, I'm not going to go back to Godhead. And I don't really, really want to come back here again to this material world. But my chanting is not of a good enough quality at the moment where I'm going to get to Goloka Vrindavan. So I have to improve my chanting. So I'm studying chanting. So the other day while I was listening, I heard that that this Hare Krishna mantra, it is a Siddha mantra. Siddha means perfection. It means this mantra gives perfection. Why do we get this mantra? Why do we get this one? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give this Maha mantra? Right? Because it is Siddha, it has everything in it. Everything is in that mantra. Right? Full potential to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan itself is in that mantra. Right? Hare means Srimati Radharani. Krishna means Krishna. Rama means Rama. These are the three principal names of God. So when you chant, Prabhupada said, I remember the day I took initiation, just here, I was sitting just there. And the day I took initiation, my Guru Maharaj said, never forget, when you chant Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. Right? The Prabhupada says this, Radha and Krishna dancing on your tongue. Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that, what is the sound of Krishna's, oh sorry, what is the sound of the Maha Mantra? Right? It is Krishna's flute. Right? If you chant attentively, one day you know what will happen? You'll hear his flute. One day you'll hear his flute. That's when you know your chanting is good. Because you'll hear the flute. Right? You'll be chanting Hare Krishna in such devotion and so deeply. And then suddenly you'll hear the flute. And you might open your eyes and then like you can't see him but you know he's there. Right? But you know, and that's when you know you're starting to get there. This is what it's all about. Right? It's not about, you know, how many pakoras I get for breakfast. It's not about whether I get the avocado or not. It's not about did I take enough rest. No, it's not about, oh, you know, so many things. Our minds are crazy. Crazy minds. Just like, you know, in the morning everyone chants japa in the circle. Right? We're all here, we're all chanting japa. Right, and you put on the big brain suckers and you connect our brains to the big TV screen up behind Prabhupada and you see what's going through everyone's minds while they're chanting japa. Right, everyone's like looking like, God, that's what that guy's thinking about. You know, it's like, our minds are crazy, they go through so many crazy things. But if you can learn to control your mind and actually begin to meditate on the sound of Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, right, that is a Siddha mantra, that can give you perfection. So devotees get into Maya when they don't chant properly and when they don't read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says, I wrote these books for you. Right? Prabhupada's sitting right there. That's where he sat in 1975 and 1976. That's where Prabhupada sat. And he's still sitting there. Right? And Prabhupada is saying to all of us, I wrote these books for you. Each one of us individually. Right? We're not separated from Prabhupada at all if we read his books. Right? Prabhupada said, these are my personal ecstasies. And they keep us out of Maya. Maya is very powerful. She's much more powerful than us. So if you want to stay out of Maya, you have to chant properly and you have to read Prabhupada's books regularly like that. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, sir.
What are the other five
things? Of japa? I don't know if I can remember all six. Just trying to remember the order that they go in. Okay. Patience. One of them is patience. What I'll do, I'll get the list and I'll give you the list because then I'll give you the list precisely. But one of them is patience. One of them is purity. One of them is mind control. One of them is contemplation of the meaning of the mantra. And then there's two more. But I can't remember that. When I remember the order, then I can remember the six. But just for some reason, I can't remember the order. But if you ask me, I'll get them for you. I'll get you the six. And maybe we'll give a class on it because it's very interesting. That's six. Any other questions or comments?
One comment. The way you said about the miracle of Krishna, there is entanglement from Guru, Lord, followers of Hare, and the previous status. If you have God, can you show your miracle? And you must oblige for accept it. He said, okay, I'll pick the day, I'll show you miracle. Went to the city where he has organized that. They said, I can't wait today because too much traffic.
What did Prabhupada say? I kick on your face. It's just nonsense. We don't even have time for these. But any other? Yeah. Just like some of these gurus, the popular ones, very ugly. So Prabhupada said, ugly God. God has become ugly. Look at Krishna, Shama Sundara. Sundara means beautiful. Sham Sundara, beautiful, golden, bluish blackish, right? This is Krishna, Ganesham, most beautiful personality, like that. So then, we don't have time for this.
How to remember lotus feet of Krishna all the time?
By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. From Shravanam, Kirtanam comes Smaranam, remembrance. You begin to remember from hearing and chanting, and that gives you remembrance of Krishna. So if you want to remember Krishna all the time, then Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha Sada Hari, you must chant all the time. Yeah, there's no karma for thinking bad things, because in Kali Yuga we'd all be dead. Because we think, sometimes you think, oh, I want to kill that person. So then, if you actually got the karma for that thought, then you wouldn't have much hope. Specific question?
How to let go of your material desires, otherwise you won't be able to grasp what Krishna is giving you. Like, you were saying how you can shower by energy, but then if you don't let go, you won't get anything. But I don't really understand how to let go.
Yeah. So, the first principle Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is param drishtva nibhatate, means you have to get something better. Right. So, if you are serious as a devotee, it means if you get up for Mangalati, right, and you chant your rounds, good rounds, and you go to the program. Now, my spiritual master used to say that a devotee who stays in the temple, or means, you go up to Prabhupada's room to chant your japa or whatever, but it means if you follow the full morning program from 4:30 to 8:30 every morning, right, you won't have so many problems in spiritual life. If you actually follow the program, you won't have so many problems like that. Because you'll get the higher taste. You'll get the param drishtva, which means the superior nectar. And then you automatically give up the lower things. The lower things won't be so attractive to you. We're only attracted to Maya because we haven't become attracted to Krishna. When you're attracted to Krishna, actually attracted to Krishna, you want to come to Mangalati. Right? You want to chant your rounds. You want to hear the Bhagavad. You want to see the deities. You want to do kirtan. When you actually have a desire for these things, then you're not so attracted to Maya, because you're getting the superior taste of Krishna consciousness. The other way to do it is that even when you practice devotional service for many years, then still material desires are there, especially like the desire for marriage. Right? That's a very strong desire. It's hard for people to. It's very rare that someone will be so absorbed in Krishna that they will go overcome that desire. So therefore, when you're dealing with those desires, then you purify them by regulating them. Right? We're allowed to have association with the opposite sex. You want association with the opposite sex, because that's what it comes down to. Right? You want to associate with the opposite sex. Men want to associate with women, women want to associate with men. Then Krishna says, get married. No problem. Like that. So regulate that desire. Right? You have one partner that you associate with. Right? And then you regulate that desire, and you purify that desire. And then, by purifying that material desire, but that material desire is made pure, because the marriage is based upon Krishna consciousness, right? And it's based upon the partners assisting each other to become Krishna conscious. That's the primary reason for marriage in Krishna consciousness. That's Grihastha Ashram. Right? That's not detrimental to devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that to be a Grihastha in Kali Yuga is a good ashram. The other ashrams are very precarious in Kali Yuga, not easy. That ashram is a good ashram. Okay. Does that answer what you are? Does that answer you?
Yes.
Okay. Any other points? Any other points? Sorry that you is down. I heard that you were coming. Yeah, you as well. I heard that you were coming as well. Any other points? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.